Hi everybody, welcome to the Toncast. I'm your host, Rad Daly. Lucky enough to be joined by our guest, Todd Robert Anderson. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rad. We've worked together before. It's nice to be back together.
It's
working.
So true. Working. Absolutely. Working, in a way, working. Right. Well, it wasn't my idea to have you in. The guys in the booth said, hey, what about that guy Todd?
And it was just a coincidence that, because you did not have a good experience when we... We were making a commercial of some for a video game.
Correct.
Some sporty video game.
Right.
Football.
Madden NFL something maybe.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Right.
And was there a guy on the ceiling? I feel like we were security.
There was a guy, yes, suspended from the ceiling to steal like a game plan. Or something.
Like a...
Was it Terrell Davis?
I think it was Terrell Davis.
There was somebody else famous. Can't remember.
There were two famous football
guys.
Other than us.
The athletes.
Yeah.
Famous athletes, right.
Yeah.
I
didn't know who they were.
No, I didn't either, but it paid money.
That's acting. When you're in a commercial for video games, which I don't play.
Right.
Not a video game
guy. Neither do I.
And it's about sports... And there are sports stars there who I don't care about.
You don't care.
But I had to make it seem like I was on board for everything.
Everything. Yeah. These guys. And if I'm not mistaken, there was some improv involved. So you really had to pull from the depth you didn't have.
And plus we were in the basement of LA Center. Like a
sub-basement. Oh, yes.
Because I remember we would walk. We're walking down a hallway with purpose.
Yes, we're going somewhere. We have like a cake. Did we have a thing?
Yeah, we had a thing.
Delivering a thing.
The secret thing for a video game.
That's it.
But every door we passed had signs that say, do not enter. Chemicals known to cause immediate cancer.
Yes, asbestos
like,
soup.
You'll immediately get sick and die.
Before we go on, though, I just want to clear up some nuts and bolts. So, first, do you validate or no? That's
I can validate. We'll give you a stamper.
And then just to get something like just to get us going, I think this is kind of good to start. Like your worldview, why?
My worldview and why?
Simple, you know.
I think we're in trouble.
Mm.
And my why is because I read a lot.
Oh.
Maybe I should stop reading.
Well, I think that's right there is your problem.
Yeah.
Many people clearly don't read. And there's less pain, I think, when you don't
And they're better
read.
For it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. They're happier.
Right. This is a tough question because I get this a lot. Are you only able to act in 30-second increments?
I try to keep it to that because I think that's the only amount of time I'm really palatable for.
Right. And then people just tune out.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a show I work on called You're the Worst. I have a recurring role. And last season, they put me in a whole episode. It was just me and another guy for a half hour.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like...
Too much.
That was too much people to watch.
May have lost a few people.
I hope I didn't hurt the show too much.
May surprise you.
Yeah, I don't know.
It could be a cult thing. Like a quirky thing that people enjoy you.
Yeah, maybe.
Right?
Maybe, yeah. Some people might like me and they wanted to see like 30 seconds on top of 30 seconds on top of 30 seconds.
Well, and they watch it in that way.
Row, yeah.
That's how they pay attention to it.
Right. Oh, maybe they just do like a 30 seconds a day of the show.
And then turn it off.
And then turn it off.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Let's see what else I hope you don't mind all the questions.
No.
I totally get the important stuff. All right.
I totally get it.
If not acting, what?
If I wasn't an actor. People ask me that all the time, and it's funny because I really don't have a good answer. Because part of me is like, I would like to live in the woods you know, be like a park ranger or something. But I also know that park rangers don't make very much money.
No.
And I like a money.
Money's good.
I like a lot of money. Right. If I can have a lot of money, I haven't really had that much money, but I don't think a park ranger's salary would make me. I'm too much of a hedonist to, I think, be a park ranger.
And you're never satisfied with enough.
No, I need more.
I see. Right.
I always need more. That's the only validation for me is money.
Right. Let's see. Your lovely wife.
Hillary.
Was it like a dowry thing or there was a genuine interest there?
Well, she was young and I think very confused and I took advantage of that.
Yeah, I have a similar situation. Let's see. How long do you seriously think your marriage will last?
We've been going, well, we've been together for 20 years. We're going on 17 years of
marriage. So she may be the one. All right.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
We'll see how it shakes out.
I tell my wife she's the hottest first wife you could ever
have. Yeah.
That's always
She is the... Some dude on her Facebook page the other day just wrote, "You were the one," in a comment feed.
And left it right there?
Just right there.
Ooh.
And I was like, okay. I mean...
The one that...
I mean, I get it.
Sure.
She's... I feel like she's the one for me, but
right.
for him, the one that got away. That's just a crazy thing, it seems to me, to put right in.
That would be, he didn't say first.
He said you were the one.
Not the first. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You were the first.
How, sort of related question, how sure are you that your son is your son?
I'm pretty certain. Mm. Because in order to have his coloring,
I see.
You need recessive genes.
So you don't dye that then. That's your
real my real, unfortunate.
That clears something. I thought it was awkward to ask you that. Okay.
No, that's okay.
No. All right.
It's okay. I when I grow my hair out, I always tell people I look like a photo negative of Tito Jackson from the 1970s. But I say that to anyone under the age of 40 at this point, and they're like, "What's a photo negative?"
A photo negative? No, I'm very familiar with that, and I know him, and you're very similar. Do you have fond memories of your time in the Army?
You mean when I played a guy who was in the Army?
You weren't.
I was not.
Oh,
in
it was
the
a
Army.
Different Todd.
I wasn't. I wasn't allowed in the Army.
Another question from the guys in the booth: why no deodorant?
Well, I get really itchy.
Mm.
I have very sensitive skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a ginger person, as people call
ginger.
Us, you have very sensitive skin.
Yeah,
you know, and most deodorants bother
harsh,
my skin.
The aluminum, you know? And all that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So I get itchy, and I find I'm always itching my armpits, which is I think an unattractive visual.
I think so.
So if I
both at the same time is really awkward looking, too.
It's rough on the guys in the booth, I realize, because we have to share some
space.
But most people, I just keep a good distance, and
sure.
It doesn't seem to bother
sure.
them.
Sure, just stay with the visual.
Though. Yeah.
Are you Groupon active?
I have gotten some Groupon stuff, but I wouldn't say I'm currently active.
Okay.
Because what happens is, and my wife used to do it more, but what would happen is she'd go, "Oh, this Groupon thing, it sounds great." And she'd get the Groupon thing, but then we wouldn't get around to using
it. It sits in a drawer.
And then it would expire.
Yes, and then you have to get the value.
You get the value.
Which is what? Right.
Yeah, remember. Much less. Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, what made you give up MMA?
It was, I got tendonitis.
Oh, yeah.
In my elbow. So the doctor said it would be best if I quit that,
it's
which is a heart.
The pain from that.
It was a heartbreaker because I was poised to get in the ring with Ronda Rousey right before that happened.
Well, you'd have a shot with her, I think, now.
Yeah.
Yeah, her soul's been stolen, I think. She's lost.
She's
gone.
She got too
limelight
big.
Took her out.
But it's a bummer because she was supposed to make the remake of Roadhouse.
I did not know.
And
that.
She was going to be the Patrick Swayze part. And she went to Swayze's family and asked, I don't know, maybe she did that, but she asked their permission and for their blessing, and they said, yeah. So I don't really like remakes very often.
No.
But And certainly an American classic like Roadhouse probably shouldn't be remade, but if you're going to do it, that's how you do it,
right,
with Ronda Rousey. But
sort
then
of
she
a
started
different angle. Yeah, I like that.
She fell out of favor with people.
Yeah,
feel bad for her.
Mm. When did you first realize you were famous?
I think when I was doing a series of cereal commercials, in which I would shout at everybody about fiber. And then I was in Santa Monica one time, and this guy leaned out his window and went, "Fiber!" And that's when I knew I was famous.
Okay, let's see. What else? I know you're famous, but are you still driving for Uber on the weekends?
Yes, when my car starts.
Right. Do you regret all the experimenting you did?
In college?
You tell me.
I have done a lot of experimenting. Okay. I don't know if you're talking about my sexual experimentation in college.
Yeah.
My drug phase in my early 30s.
That was just then?
Or are you talking about my science?
I don't know. It.
Okay. I regret nothing.
Nothing.
I think that the sex opened up my mind to trying drugs, which opened up my mind to trying science.
So sex was the gateway to drugs?
Sex is... Yeah, that's okay. What I tell the kids. I guess it's anecdotal, and I should, but...
True.
But a lot of my science seems to, while it's not completely conclusive at this point, seems to back up that theory.
It may come back to sex.
It may all come back to
sex. Like a big circle thing.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you like on your pizza?
Just about anything.
Okay. Pineapple? Would you do the pineapple?
I'll do a Hawaiian pizza.
Ooh,
I'm not afraid to admit people are down on that. Sometimes it's good. I like it. I like the meats. I like the veggies.
Yeah.
What I don't like is when it gets too gourmet.
Oh, they try too hard.
Yeah.
There's
no reason to put zucchini on a pizza.
Oh, gosh. No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When they get too weird with it,
yeah,
you know, and there's... I don't know.
Venice style.
Yeah, couscous on a pizza. Forget that. I don't want that.
Gummy bears.
It's got to be a little simple, but most of it I like. I like anchovies.
Oh,
I do. I like anchovies.
Well, I like them in a Caesar. I don't know them on the pizza, though.
They're just little...
I make a mean Caesar dressing.
I'll bet.
I do from scratch.
Yeah, they're like little salt bombs.
They are salt fishy bombs, yeah. Let's see. Why aren't you taller?
That's probably because, and I am not proud of this, but I took up smoking when I was in high school.
I think it stunted my growth.
I think I could have gotten another few inches.
I think so.
My feet suggest I should be taller.
Oh,
because they're
says
really
a lot,
they're
know?
Really big.
Well, I've always, you know, I'm a scratch, barely a 5'10", but I play like 6'2".
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
Let's see. What's with the snarky attitude?
I feel like I'm better than everybody.
Mm.
And that seems like the best way to communicate it.
I see.
In a snarky comedic way.
Okay.
Then
so you grab a room with an attitude rather than a gentle or being funny and charming.
This is America.
Okay.
And
yeah.
It's not... That's not...
We've seen it pay off.
Gentle doesn't work.
Let's see. So for many years you didn't. Now you do. Why?
Well, as we went through the phases of my experimentation in learning. I mean, I think the drugs, those 5 years of drug abuse really opened my mind to doing things that before I thought maybe were evil, like murder and stuff.
Okay. Let's see. Most people only remember you from The Breakfast Club. Is that fair?
For a long time, I didn't care for that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care for it. And
typecast.
Oh, yeah, and everybody's like, he's just the nerdy guy from Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
And I struggled against it. Had some failures in Out of Bounds, my action film Out of Bounds.
Oh.
And Johnny B. Goode didn't do so well.
They just didn't buy you in that.
Yeah, they didn't see me as a tough guy, as a football tough guy type.
Okay.
But now, you know, that I'm older and I'm looking back, I mean, that's one of my fondest memories. And, you know, working with John and Judd and Emilio and,
yeah,
you know,
must have been
Molly.
It was groundbreaking.
It was a good...
And 16 Candles.
Good movies. Yeah, I loved 16 Candles working on
yeah.
that. It's just trying to get away. I mean, you don't want to play a nerd all your life. And plus, as I was getting older,
right.
you know, it doesn't really work as well.
No.
You know, you can come across as kind of creepy if you're an old nerd trying to get somebody's panties.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah, but I've always pictured you as a tough nerd. And I think there's a thing out there. There's a slot for that.
Yeah. Well, I think the world is changing and accepting more people.
Uh-huh.
And people are more woke.
What?
To,
right.
To tough nerds.
Tough.
Strong nerds.
Nerds. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, when I was a kid, in order to be a nerd, you had to be smart. But that's no longer...
Is that right?
That's no longer the case.
You just have to show, sort of...
You just have to love something really stupid on an almost religious level.
Oh, I see.
You know?
So, like, Comic-Con people can be considered nerds.
They are. They're nerds. They're, and now
they're not necessarily smart.
They don't have to be smart.
Right.
They can just be obsessed with Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know anything about that world. I have friends involved in that world, but...
can you introduce me to them?
Oh, sure.
Because I could go for franchise... I could go for some franchise money.
Oh, yes, you should.
It seems lucrative.
So how's the, in general, audition scene going for you?
Currently it's very slow.
Yeah.
Very, very slow.
Right.
The year 2017 so far has been very, very slow.
Slow. Yeah.
I bought at the same time, while it's been slow, I went out on more pilot auditions
this year
than
there
I have
go.
In a lot of years. So that's cool.
Right.
But
right.
I, you know, didn't book any. So,
yeah, that's all right. Baby steps.
I used to go out on pilots all the time. When I was younger.
The pocket age group,
yeah.
I think, is and the scary part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And I didn't book any of them back then either. So I think I kind of prefer the slower, fewer auditions.
Right.
to really, not book.
It's quality.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just Bryan Cranston route. Eventually, that one... Of the one audition you have each year,
right?
You'll get.
I'll get that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's then, what I'm leaning towards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to get on my cable meth making show.
Oh yeah, I've never done that.
Yeah.
I don't think I recognize that idea.
Well, I don't. This is what I don't get. I mean, in the 80s, when I sort of became aware of
woke.
Movies, I became woke.
Sure.
About movies. And I was using the phrase back then, and nobody knew what I was talking about. I said, I'm woke about TV and movies, you guys.
That's amazing.
People were like, what are you even...
Way ahead.
What is that?
Yeah.
But the thing was, is with everything, movies, television, music, all the art used as, you know, to generate money, if something made money, then there'd be 8 or 9 more just like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They come up with a TV show called... Blue Thunder, and then the next thing you know, there's another TV show called Airwolf, and they're both about military-grade helicopters helping people out.
Right.
The pilots
right.
with the helicopters help people out. I remember in, I think it was actually at the end of the 80s, maybe even 1990, there was a dance craze called the Lambada.
Oh, sure.
It was the forbidden dance. And what happened was, on the same night, 2 movies opened. One called Lambada, The Forbidden Dance.
Okay.
And the other one called The Forbidden Dance is Lambada.
Wow.
Same night, you know, so one studio caught wind that the other studio... So they did the same thing together. So all I'm saying is there's no reason why I can't have a show where I am a teacher... who gets cancer and starts cooking meth. I mean, we can adjust it.
Sure.
You know, I'm a plumber who gets cancer.
True.
And I need money, so I make crack.
You know? What's a title then? Let's come up with a title of the show.
I would call it Making Good.
Yeah, Making Good. Mm-hmm. That's the twist.
That's the twist.
Maybe he was bad.
Yeah.
And becomes a teacher.
Oh.
And makes less money.
Right.
Doesn't go anywhere.
Well, it doesn't really satisfy a lot of the markets we're trying to satisfy.
No.
But it's a sweet story.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a sweet story. I mean, you can do that version in the novel.
Yo, sure.
A novelization of the...
It should be like a web series, though, like, you know, webisodes. I love the expression webisodes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like it more because I don't know what it is.
You like the idea of a webisode more than just an episode.
No, I just don't know what a webisode is. So, which makes it, you know... There's certain things that you hear these words thrown around, you hear these subjects... And you think, you know, I'm not going to even look it up. I don't want to know.
You don't want to
know.
Then
I'll stay interested.
Yeah.
Because it's something I'll never really know about.
Right.
Like history.
Or like milk enemas.
So true.
Seriously, don't look that up.
No.
Oh, there goes my phone. I apologize. I thought it was on buzz. Oh, it's my real estate person.
I'll
call her back.
You're familiar. Yeah, certain things you don't want to learn about. I mean, I just, like, the first time I heard about anal bleaching, I thought, what is that?
Yeah, what
Why
is that?
Why is there a necessary thing for that?
I don't know. I guess people are really... I mean, you can get your labia all fixed up now. I couldn't find anything
about... Fix up your labia.
Yeah, they, like...
Does it break?
Well, I guess, you know, it can kind of fall apart.
Oh.
But, I mean... They do that, but I've not read or heard of any ball lifting.
Ooh. Because that's something to think
about.
The
older you get, lower they drop.
Goodness,
and if you could tighten those up, that'd be nice.
When they hit your patella, it stops.
Yeah, that hurts.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Like, just maybe it's just a string. Well, I know they do these things with the face. They just sort of pull back on the sides.
Yeah, they put like
if you had a string that ran from the bottom... up around your back and attached it. Ooh, you could attach it to the back of your head. Then when you do that, they go up. On, right.
Right.
It's a visual. Sorry.
Yeah.
Johnny.
Yeah. I think that would work. Mm. But I mean, that's kind of, it sounds like a cheaper version. There should be kind of more of a surgical, in-depth surgical way to, you know, so you don't have to worry so
Take
much about
the
string.
Excess,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just like tighten them up, bring them, just tighten them up.
Yeah.
You know?
That's an awkward area, though. I remember I had a vasectomy after I had a couple kids,
and
the most awkward thing about it was the first time I had a doctor who was younger than me.
Oh,
and I show up, he's like, "All right, let's check him out." He's got a young guy and doing it. And
check him out.
Just, you know,
check
just,
him.
Let's take a look down there and make sure where I'm going to be aiming.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Then the day of the surgery, I walk in, just a little office, and he's got his beautiful assistant, which I wasn't really bargaining for there, and she got to be a part of the whole thing. And then he asked me the strangest question. He said, "I'm going to put some music on, you know, make you comfortable. What kind of music would you like to listen to?"
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't even saying it as a joke. I said, "Okay, you're going to have a scalpel down there.
Uh-huh.
I want you... to listen to the music that makes you comfortable."
Right.
I don't care what happens with me, but if you're not comfortable, I'm not going to be in a good place.
That's reasonable.
So,
yeah.
But it worked out. It worked out.
That's good.
Yeah.
So were you embarrassed with the assistant?
Yeah, because it was cold. I mean, you know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that sucks.
I'm a grower, and she doesn't know that.
Yeah, she doesn't know that. She wouldn't know that.
Yeah, that was awkward.
I had, I remember... Because I had a what do you call them? A tumor.
Oh,
you know?
Goodness gracious.
In my thigh.
Oh, that's a random tumor.
Yeah,
place.
It was weird. It was weird. I was only 20,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I was home for the summer, and I was taking a shower, and I was looking at my thighs, and one looked
buff.
Fatter.
Okay.
Buff is not the word I'd use. I'd use fat. And back then I was rail thin.
Oh, wow.
It's not like that anymore. but I had this giant
really?
Leg. I was like, what the fuck is that? You know? And I was kind of a late bloomer, and I just become sexually active. And I apologize. That's my phone. And I thought maybe it was a venereal disease or something. I was just terrified.
I'm not going to tell anybody.
Yeah, no, it was like, so I finally, you know, got up the courage to talk to my doctor, you know, and he sent me to a specialist, and that guy was like, well, we're going to take some MRIs. And they took MRIs, and there was a tumor in there, but they couldn't conclude whether it was,
so they got, you know,
a malignant one.
Yeah,
and the only way to get at it was to, because it was inside my muscle.
Oh, wow.
Was to take it out. So they had to take it out.
No way.
Ooh. So, yeah. So, but what I remember.
So that's why you walk like that now.
Yeah, I walk weird.
Yeah.
So, and actually, it's still hard. Like, when the weather changes, it aches.
Oh, that's like old man shit.
Yeah, it's old man shit that I've had since I was 20.
Okay.
But I remember being in there, and the first thing they do when you have this major surgery is they give you, you know, Valiums before they even give you the good drugs to chill you out, which turned out, and I never had them before, it turned out to be a truth serum.
Uh-oh.
You know, my mom had taken me to the hospital and was sitting with me. And then I just started blah, 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 blah about all the crazy shit I was doing in New York. And she was like, you know what? I'm Todd. You know what?
You got this.
Good luck. I'm going to head out, and I will see you when you're in recovery. So she left. And then the next thing, and my doctor, who happened to be the father of one of my high school friends, told me all these stories about the way I behaved on all these opiates or whatever the hell they were pumping into my system. And like, they had, because of it was high up in my thigh.
Oh, wow.
So where they had to do the incision, you know, they had to shave
everything.
Shave it.
Oh yeah.
And they actually only shaved half.
Well, it was worse, maybe.
It was weird.
Yeah.
But but there was a lady nurse,
oh boy,
you know, yeah, shaving, yep, my nethers.
Getting to
and
know
I was,
you.
Yeah. I was apparently going, this is great. I've always wanted to have this done.
I can only... An improvise on some sort of drug is not going to be good. Wow. But it was benign, and I take it.
Yeah, they sent it away, and it turned out to be benign. So I just spent the whole summer thinking I was going to die, but...
Oh, yeah?
And what I learned about myself is when I think I'm going to die, I don't turn into one of these sweet people who becomes nostalgic about life and love and all that. I was a bitch.
Wow.
All summer. Just in a bad mood.
I'm wasting my life.
I just became sexually active and now I'm going to die.
Now
I'm going to die. This is bullshit.
I wonder how. I guess you don't know how you become when you're faced with those things.
Well, it's survival. I don't necessarily think that reflects who you are as a person. But when your, you know, fight or flight stuff kicks in,
yeah,
you know.
And you can't fight. That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can run. And I can use my friends as catapults to help me run faster away from things
Clawing
that I think are going to kill me.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. That's
it's got to be faster than one guy.
Yeah, that's it. That's
one
it.
Of them around you.
So I've tried to become more conscious of that.
Okay.
In I think having a kid helped.
Yes. Now tell me about your child.
He's 11.
11, yeah.
He's a boy.
Does he listen to you still? It's getting there.
But he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And he makes that clear.
That stupid dad things.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a lot of me going, okay.
I brought you into this world.
Put the iPad away. Put it away. I don't want to put it away. You're putting it away because you're acting like a jerk. Put it away.
That doesn't go.
No, then he just acts like more of a jerk.
So your wife has more power with him than you.
She runs into the same trouble.
Okay. All right.
But I definitely think she, yes.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, she sides with him more often.
Oh, wow. You know? So you're the...
Yeah. I like when they're in a thing, I back her up because that's what you're supposed to fucking do. But when I'm in a thing, she's like, well, you know what? Maybe you're overreacting.
I don't know enough about you. Let's see. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Massachusetts.
Oh, where in Massachusetts?
A little town called Sherburn.
Where's that?
It's about a half hour or so west of Boston, depending
west
on traffic.
Of Boston. It's not near the Berkshires, right?
That's no, further. That's further out. At the time, I haven't been back in a while, but at the time it was the outermost ring of suburbs.
Oh, okay.
By the time I graduated. I mean, when my parents moved there, there was nothing there.
Yeah.
It was mostly woods and orchards and stuff. But then by the time I graduated high school, it was built up with really rich white people.
And did you end up going to college, or what'd you do?
I did. I went to New York University.
Oh, the
which,
new NYU.
And I just received a letter saying there's a class action lawsuit against NYU.
NYU.
For some reason, yeah. And if you've ever gone to NYU, you should.
And were you a theater major?
I was.
You were. You know, that is a reliable degree to have.
It's great.
It's just
and
a
actually,
gold ticket to success.
It is. I've had bad auditions, like, where I tanked out, and I was like, guys, I know that sucked, but here's my degree. And they went, oh, shit, why don't you just say that at the get-go? You're hired.
Not to be the bitter, jaded actor that I am.
Mm-hmm.
What is your advice to that when you get these friends, relatives, and say, my son wants to be an actor? What's your advice?
Oh, it's always simple. Always simple. I say, look, the truth is there's probably no magic bullet, but I'll tell you how I did it. And then I start explaining to them. I start with, well, you know, I started in high school theater, and then I actually went to college. When I got out to Los Angeles, I joined a small theater company, which I had to pay to be in, as is the case in Los Angeles. I did one of the shows that they always do at these community theaters in Los Angeles that has the most people in the cast, you know, so,
biggest
they can,
ensemble.
So they aren't ripping off everybody. And in this particular play, I played a Jewish rapist in an Australian penal colony.
I gotta be careful how you said all that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Jewish rapist, Australian penal colony. Okay.
Right. And in the show, there is a rape scene.
Uh-oh.
I commit rape.
Uh-oh.
Simulated, of course.
Sure. Still awkward.
Still awkward.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when my character reveals that he's Jewish because he's hiding it in this penal colony. This actual Jewish person in the theater went,
ah! It's the big day.
No, you're not.
That's what you took from that play, probably.
Yeah. And then, so I was doing that, and then this one of the guys who ran the theater had a boyfriend who was a commercial casting director, and he came to the play, and then he called me, and he said, "I think you'd be good in commercials." And I was
because of the rape, though.
I was like, "What about the rape? Told you that?"
No, that's everything you need to know. Commercial actor.
Yeah. So then, I spent a year auditioning for commercials before I booked any, and I was working at a minimum wage. And see, the further I go down this story, people glaze over, have no idea what I'm talking
what
about.
Are you saying?
But this is how it works for absolutely fucking everybody. It's specific and it's weird. I was filing headshots for a casting director at the same time that I was trying to book commercials. She was theatrical. She liked me enough because I'd sit there and make fun of people's headshots, which really is mean, but fuck it. She thought it was funny. So then she called me in and I got a theatrical, like, small part in a movie, and then she hooked me up with an agent because that way, you know, it's like, it doesn't...
So it wasn't the degree on the wall.
Had nothing to do with anything. I don't want to say that college is a waste of time because I really loved going to college. I had my problems with NYU all over the place as an institution and as an educational facility. It's problematic.
Probably.
But fuck it. I was in New York. I was in Manhattan. I made great friends that are still friends of mine today.
Right, right.
Some of them are still in the business.
Right.
Some of them get me jobs, you know, or at least auditions, you know, so maybe I can get a job. You know, so...
Oh, and it gives you confidence to step up and learn a scene and get on
a
stage and be in a room.
There was a lot they left out. A lot they left out. There should have been
How about just how to audition?
There should have been an audition workshop class that you always deal with. But I mean, even in that situation, you wouldn't quite be ready for an audition.
No,
you should theoretically understand how it works, and there's none of that.
Yeah,
or right. You know how the business works. I mean, and you know, it's ever changing.
Sure.
You know, you do commercials, so you know, like when I started in the 90s, like mid to late 90s, and you know, I could make a decent living if I booked two or three national commercials, but I remember back then, the old guys who I'd sit in rooms with and be like, oh, I know that guy. One time I sat next to Henry Silva in a commercial audition. I was like, holy shit. That guy is in The Manchurian Candidate. An alligator. And Code of Silence with goddamn Chuck Norris. That's Henry Silva. I was so excited. You know, but these guys would all sit around and complain about, Jesus, now you got to book three or four of these fucking things to make a living. Because when they did, they booked one.
Yeah.
And they bought them a house.
That's right.
And kept them afloat for 2 years plus. And now...
Now there's more actors to compete against.
And you got to book, I would say, at least 8 national commercials that air to make a living.
A decent...
Like I used to make in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, I joined SAG in 1978.
78? You must have been a child.
Yes.
And so child acting didn't ruin you?
No, thank God I was around of all those guys. I was rolling in that crowd that they were all messed up, and made bad choices. But no, I stayed reasonably out of it.
So you were hanging out with some child actors who became train wrecky adults.
Yeah, well, anybody from Corey Feldman to not all of them are train wrecky, but like. Rob Lowe and Charlie Sheen and Emilio and I don't know.
Emilio seems to have kept his shit together. I mean, did he have trouble? I mean,
sure. Because he went behind the camera. He was smart.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's true. And
I mean, you know.
I like that Men at Work movie where he's a... garbage man.
I never saw it.
With his brother. Where, like, literally, you know, and Emilio, if you're listening, I'm sorry for talking shit, but you literally lifted an entire joke from Savage Steve Holland film in your movie Men at Work.
Is that right?
Which I fully enjoyed. I enjoyed Men at Work. It's a good, dumb comedy movie. But there's a joke in Better Off Dead. With John Cusack.
Yeah.
Where John Cusack... Did you ever see that movie?
No.
God damn it.
No. I told you this.
You're earlier. A child actor and you hung out with the Brat Pack, it sounds like.
Essentially. Peripherally.
Peripherally.
Yeah. I know them.
Yeah.
The same girls were...
But okay, so it makes sense if you were if you were hanging around with them, you might not want to watch all those movies.
Yeah.
You were living it. But I was in a suburb in Massachusetts and I was in the woods. That's all I had. It was the movies.
There
was
VHS in an afternoon.
Fucking nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So he's suicidal in this movie, John Cusack's character, and he is going to jump off a bridge, you know, onto a street. But every time he's about to kill himself, he always has a change of heart. That's the running gag of the movie. He has a change of heart, but then something happens. That propels him into almost actually dying.
Now this sounds familiar. Okay.
So in this one particular instance, his friend stops by, played by Curtis Armstrong, famous as Booger, in the movie Revenge of the Nerds.
Wow.
Which is, if you haven't seen it, it's a classic American comedy about how funny sex crimes are.
That's true.
It's an endless parade of sex crimes that you're supposed to find hysterical. And I have to admit that when I was a kid, I did think they were hysterical, and you watch it and you go, oh, Jesus Christ, man.
Can't make that
you
now.
Guys should be in prison. You're all sex offenders. But so Curtis Armstrong stops by and says, hey, buck up, camper. Everything's going to be fine. You know, just, you know, give it some time. And John Cusack is like, okay, yeah, sure. And then Curtis Armstrong hits him on the back, and he falls off the bridge.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Luckily, into a garbage truck.
Right, of course.
Which breaks his fall and keeps him from dying. And he's driving by, and there's a couple of African-American phone workers working on the phone lines, and they see John Cusack in the garbage in the back of this truck. And one says to the other, "It's a shame folks throwing out a perfectly good white boy like that." It's one of the funniest fucking jokes ever. And literally the same joke Men at Work. Yeah. And there's like a white guy, and Keith David delivers the line. And I was like, and that was too close. Men at Work only came out in like 90, 91 it came out. And, you know, it was probably 5 or 6 years had passed between the, but I'm like, that just seems
that's
egregious. Yeah.
There had to be 10 guys on the crew on that day.
Yeah.
Were saying to themselves, they know this. This is from.
There was probably a guy who worked on Better Off Dead. It was like, that's a Savage guys, Steve.
Oh, it's all right. It's all right. No,
forget
notice.
It. I'm just going to take.
Move along.
I'm going to take my paycheck and forget about it. Yeah. But, you know. He doesn't seem like the mess that a lot of other.
No, I think that, you know, and Rob's doing great. And
well, he had some troubles.
Well,
he had some hiccups.
There were some, you know, but you know, what those guys, the world they lived in, and what was around them, and offered to them, and
yeah,
and the whole sycophant thing, and
yeah,
experimenting. You know, we do stupid things in college. They do stupid things in front of the world.
Right. Yeah. So, absolutely.
Saying,
yeah.
What do you do after that? Which Rob got his act together, and you know.
Yeah, yeah, he did. He did that.
I think it's funny that the grief Charlie has gotten over the years, because I got along great with him. One of the nicest guys I've ever known. Great guy.
I'll be honest with you. Charlie was always my favorite of the Sheens.
Hmm.
Yeah, I always enjoyed his movies, and
he's funny.
He's very funny, and his movies got bad. I mean, they were bad.
Yeah, choices there, man. Yeah,
but I liked them anyway, because I found him so amusing.
Yeah,
he has habits. But the thing is, you know, when people get obsessed with somebody's behavior, somebody's address. I'm like, if he's not killing children, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If he's not out there burning neighborhoods to the ground, it's none of your fucking business.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And, obviously, there have been repercussions to his bad habits,
mm-hmm.
but they're his bad habits.
Right.
Although, you know, if he's spreading disease around, then
that's
up,
a thing.
You know,
yeah, who knows if he knew he would.
But people were obsessed with his bad behavior before
right.
any of that transpired.
Yeah.
And I was like, who cares? I mean, I honestly don't care if people are peeing on each other in Russia. That's
not go crazy.
That's not what we should be worried about.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, the life of a celebrity, to a degree, must be horrible. I mean, I went through phases of being recognized more than not, you know, just times I'd travel in an airport or be at Disneyland, and it was weird.
Yeah.
That's little.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine just throwing a hat on and going down to the market wearing plaid shorts and a polka dot t-shirt I was doing gardening in or whatever the hell.
Yeah. And
be caught picking my nose and you can't go anywhere doing anything.
Yeah. Like some, I don't know, one of those tabloid things. So it was just on one of my social media feeds, and I was like, really, does this matter? It was just John Hamm walking around, and they're like, John Hamm, I guess, forgot his underwear
because
he had like a bulge in his pants. And I was like,
isn't that the worst?
Who fucking cares? Jesus, who cares?
The Britney Spears goes shopping.
Yeah. And well, I mean, I guess if there were, his penis looks huge, so I guess that's
God bless
that's
him,
a
I mean,
that's
sure.
not yeah that's a cool thing. But like, why are you giving him shit about, why does John Hamm have to wear underwear?
That's true.
He wasn't walking around with no pants on.
No,
you know,
and it may have been deliberate to get the, you know.
And if he was walking around with no pants on, then that's there's something happening. There's something wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
And we should help him.
I remember this was years and years ago. Was it Ryan O'Neal and Farrah Fawcett, right? Weren't they?
I think so, yeah.
And there was pictures of them that somebody had taken down at the Colony looking into their window, and they're both in their underwear vacuuming and cleaning the house. And this was all over the tabloids, and I thought, God,
they're just cleaning their house in their underwear. It's fucking Southern California. It gets hot.
Who cares?
Yeah, Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't really care. It's just weird. It's just weird. But then again, you know, maybe John Hamm would be walking around with no pants at a nudist colony. And then that's fine. You're supposed to be. But they'd still take pictures of it, and it would be scandalous.
It would.
It would be scandalous. It would.
Have you ever been involved in a scandal yourself?
Not that I know.
Can you talk about? Right.
Yeah. I mean, I was really inappropriate on my 21st birthday party.
Wow.
You know, that was scandalous.
And the thigh wasn't all the way healed probably by then.
No, that was right after the thigh. Yeah. So I think my brain was reeling and PTSD and
but that's
lashing out at the world.
Oh, but that's NYU, right?
Yeah. Yeah. My 21st birthday party, it was so fucking legendary for my bad behavior, that when I graduated years later, I happened to be just at, you know, a bunch of people got together, and there were some guys I didn't really know or mutual friends of friends that I got invited to this thing at this bar, and they started talking about this party.
And you?
And I was like, they were talking, and I'm sitting next to them listening to them, and I'm like, I finally went, you know what, guys, I got to apologize. That was me. And that was my party. And they were like, holy shit, that was you?
Okay, you got to give us something here. What?
Oh, I was just, I drank so much, like I should have died.
Probably.
I drank like a half a bottle of Southern Comfort and like a quarter bottle of tequila multiple 40 ounces of
that
beer.
Hurt.
And I was just screaming. I was screaming at my friends.
So you're loud drunk. When you're drunk.
Back then, yeah. I mean, I was loud, but I wasn't. I was always jovial. I wasn't angry.
Right.
But this night, I got completely fucking out of control. And when I woke up the next day, and my roommate was like, "Jesus fucking Christ, man!" he's like, "You have to clean the bathroom." And I was like, "What happened?" And he's like, "The party got a little out of control, and you were way out of control." Our bathtub became a puke trough.
Oh, like, so it wasn't just you.
It was, no, everybody, there was something in the air. But because it was my birthday party, I took that to mean, And I, you know, was saying inappropriate things to women and threatening my friends with violence. At one point, my roommate got me and his buddy, sort of talked me down a little bit and got me into his room, right? And there weren't locks on the door, so they shut the door and they broke the doorknob off, so I couldn't come out. But they made the grave error of locking me in the room with the fire escape.
Out you went.
So I climbed down the fucking fire escape.
Oh, that's not good.
I didn't fall to my death. Like all of this stuff is bizarre. There's so any chance I had at winning the lottery, I blew that night. Like, I'm so lucky I did not die.
Right.
And I went up, back up to the fifth floor, knocked on my own door, and when they opened the door, I said, "I'm back, bitches!" And everybody's like, "Oh, fuck, how'd he get?" Like, what's happening? I was just a nightmare. So I spent, you know, months apologizing to people. And then there were people who would still cross the street to avoid me. And I was like, no, I'm really not. I'm not that way. I don't know what happened. Because I really, when I was horrified when I found, because I don't believe that you can use the excuse, "I'm drunk." I was drunk. What do you want? I was drunk. Yeah, I'm sorry I called that cop sugar tits and dropped the N-bomb on the phone. Oh. But I was drunk.
So it's okay.
It's like, but even as drunk as I was, I wasn't using racial slurs.
I could never imagine being anywhere drunk enough to do
that. No. I was awful and inappropriate and horrible. But like when I woke up and found out I had behaved that way, I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? I mean, that was the first thing.
Well, it's probably good that you're old enough, as am I, that those were the days where there weren't cell phones and videos rolling.
Oh my
God. Every single thing you did.
Oh my God. I never would have survived it.
Both my kids are in college, and I tell them, remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, there's probably going to be a record of it. So just keep it in mind as you're out and about with your friends. So
yeah. That sucks, man.
Yeah.
It sucks because there are mistakes you can make where people will rake you across the coals and you deserve it. But then there are mistakes you make where people rake you across the coals and you really don't.
No.
I mean, I guess it's like John Hamm and his giant dork.
That's
like, fucking, what do you... Leave him alone. I get upset.
So your son says, I want to be an actor.
Well,
how does that go?
I can assure you he does not.
Oh, all right.
He tells me that all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, he's accompanied me to auditions. He's been on the
they're fun
on sets.
They're so much fun.
Oh yeah, he loves sitting in waiting rooms. I think that's part of it. It's like one time I got a last minute audition for a guest star on this show.
Those are the good ones. Last minute's fun.
One season, one scene thing.
All right.
You know, but they had the pre-read, you know, where you read to the casting director, and then right after was
straight
the producer
to the producer.
So we actually read for her, and then she, it was uncomfortable.
Oh,
because we all read, and then she came out and was
announced.
We're all waiting.
You guys
stay. Yeah. No,
when
I know.
That's
old school.
Oh yeah.
And I stayed, and then read for the producers, and my son was with me the whole time. That was my caveat when they called. I was like, actually, I got my son, you know, he wasn't in school yet, and I got to bring him because I've got no coverage right now, and this is last minute. And they were like, yeah, it's fine, bring him. But it was, you know, a same-day booking. That's why they were doing it so fast. So if I got the job, I was like, but if I get the job...
You shoot that day? Oh, wow.
If I get the job, my son still has to stay with me until my wife is done with work and she can come get him.
Right.
And they were like, okay. And that's it. And I got it.
And
of course. Because it was the most... It's always when it's inconvenient.
I know.
That's when you book stuff. So
he was stuck with you the whole time.
Yeah. And I was lucky that the show was called The X's. And everybody was... cool on the set and the
bringing a kid never hurt. I mean,
as long as
the kid is cool.
No, and the actresses were having fun introducing him to craft services and stuff, and like he's like, what is this? And they're like, it's ice cream. It was just a whole thing ice cream. And he's like and they're like, go ahead, grab some ice cream, you know. And he grabbed the ice cream and he took a bite of it.
What was
and
it?
I don't know, it was like like, I don't know what it was. I can't remember, but he didn't like it, whatever it was. And he was like, oh, I don't really like it. And then the actress goes, oh, throw it out and get another one. And like, he looked to me like,
that's a waste.
I can't do that. Yeah, I've made my final choice. And I'm like, no, you can do it. And he was like,
that's a good kid.
Yeah.
It's a good boy.
Yeah, he was a good boy. Now he'd be like, yeah, I don't like this.
So
I know these are free.
All right, you got to leap forward here at 15 years. What's he going to do?
Man, it's hard to say. I mean, he does have, being an only kid, he does have a bit of the attention grabbing. He likes to perform. He's really into magic right now.
Hey, all right.
If he sticks with that, that's fine.
Chicks dig it.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, he loves writing.
There you go.
So I don't know. He could be any of those things. But what's going to happen is when he's 15, I'm putting him into trade school. So he'll either be a plumber or an electrician.
Gotta have
it's,
that.
It's his choice.
Right.
It's his choice.
Worlds open up to you
what
with those
wants.
Two things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wish they had those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, he'll be gainfully employed by the time he's 17.
That's not acting.
And whatever hobby he wants on the side, he can have.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know. So he can always dance.
Yeah. My parents were very encouraging of me getting into acting.
Oh, they were?
Yeah, because they saw that I liked it. I responded to it.
It's worked out.
I was having a hard time when I was a kid, and then they were like, oh, okay, well, you should go do that. But I really think they should have tried harder to get me to do something else.
To have something else.
So I'm going to go fully the opposite way and just force my son to
have
a career.
Be a carpenter first.
Yeah, because the world always needs that.
Yeah.
You don't need actors. And there's no, and if you have that skill, if you can put pipes together,
you can live in
you can go anywhere, you can do anything, you make lots of money.
Yes.
Plumbers and electricians do really well, carpenters do really well. And no matter what happens, the world is still going to need those guys.
Absolutely.
And gals.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, what I'm saying is I wish I'd become a plumber. Or an electrician.
Yeah. Mine would be maybe surgeon. That'd be very cool to be like a specialist, like a hand surgeon.
I like alcohol too much. I would feel...
That'd be bad.
Yeah. I feel like if...
Well, then you couldn't be a pilot. Well, there are a lot of pilots that drink, though.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Yeah, no, the pilot thing is fine. I could work for United or
Sexy.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or
yes,
be
you
like,
could work for United.
Or be like Denzel and turn the thing upside down and all that. when I'm drunk. but yeah, so a doctor just sounds... I respect doctors, although I think, you know, maybe they get paid too much. But maybe not surgeons. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the whole healthcare thing at this point.
Yeah.
But
Oh, yeah.
Given that, you know, like my wife is a teacher and I just don't understand why teachers don't get paid more. Because they have to get these master's degrees and all this shit.
But they better be good teachers.
No, there's such a thing as bad teachers.
And
but
bad teachers.
Let me tell you something. There are lots of bad doctors out there.
Yes.
There's tons of them.
Yes.
I run into them all the time.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, you're an asshole. You think that the medicine is the same now as it was in 1989, you old idiot?
Yeah,
you need
the younger
to read.
Doctors are better.
You
yeah.
need to read every day.
Yeah.
You need to edge it. But they don't. They're,
right.
I mean, maybe they like to drink too. They go home and they have their cocktails and they don't want to read. I don't know. But I would just feel...
But they can suffer the consequences of being a bad doctor. I worry about the teachers that don't ever suffer consequences
for
being bad teachers.
That's true. That's true. Which
I'm
is
sure
that,
your wife would agree.
Which is... Yeah, absolutely. And she's a public charter school teacher.
Yeah.
So she's not in a union.
Right.
Which means... See, that's like this thing I don't understand about the anti-charter movement.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I really don't. Yeah, there are bad charter schools. The same way there are bad regular public schools.
With tons
all over
of money
the place.
Thrown at them and gets nowhere.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's you throw in the baby out with the bathwater just because it's a newer situation and it's the union that is
right.
It hates the charter schools because they feel like it undercuts.
Right.
But they're the ones who set up the tenure thing that creates terrible teachers can sit and...
See, that was what our kids went to a private school and the Christian school out in Westlake. And bad teachers get fired. Done. Gone.
Oh, yeah. That's out. True about private schools.
Better
the
teachers, you get better and better teachers.
But it's hard being... Yeah, that's true.
Expensive.
But it's also hard being – I think it's hard being a teacher in that situation, especially in private school situations because, you know, you ask any teacher worth their salt what the hardest part of their job is and they're going to say the parents.
Oh, sure.
/ the administration.
Yeah.
It's never the kids.
No.
It's never the kids are not the problem. It's the parents.
Absolutely.
And –
Well, if there's troubled kids, it's because the parents aren't active.
So, yeah. So, in that, like, the union setting up protections for teachers who have to deal with these entitled parents, you know
yes.
what I mean, makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
it's the system that's in place right now is the union is not holding their own members accountable for when they suck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's where, I mean, I understand it, and I'm a pro-union guy.
Sure.
There's so few unions left mm-hmm. in this world.
Well, we used to have unions for more protections than we need now, though.
That's true.
That's the only thing about that part of the unions I can see why is going away, because we used to have to unionize to protect our rights, really.
Right.
And being taken advantage of by an employer. But now there's so many laws in place to protect you without having to be in a union.
That's true.
But to collectively bargain, to be able to bargain as a force and
yeah.
Thank God for SAG. My goodness, my pension's sitting there. Hopefully it'll still be there.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's like, oh, God, if that goes away, I'm going to be so sad.
Oh, I'll be screwed.
I'll never stop working. Because right now, I'm only 20 years away from retirement. And I got to tell you, I can't wait.
I'm 3.5 years away.
Nice. Yeah. Are you going to?
Yeah, at 55, I've done, you know, if you talk to them, do the numbers, you can go down and meet with them, tell them, they'll tell you, you know, how, if you take it now, and this lump sum, and all that crap. And we've looked at the numbers, and literally every single actor I know has started drawing at 55 because it doesn't make sense to wait.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I, you know, my wife's the numbers person, like just major brainiac with the numbers.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I'll probably just start pulling.
Ah.
May move.
Just out of state.
May just go.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, it's like,
except all those casting directors listening, I'll be in town.
Well, you know, I do love acting, but I don't like the process of getting the acting work.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that I became an actor because it just felt like the only thing that would satisfy me.
I could not act.
Yeah.
It's an addiction or whatever you want to call it. It's, you know, let's be real. It's about your ego, too. I
mean, yeah.
You know, when you're good at something and they see people tell you you're good at it, even if you're a doctor or a plumber or what have you.
Feels that's good. Yeah.
You feed off that, right?
Yeah,
then you
absolutely.
Get these wicked, tempting, huge explosions of cash that suck you in and say, if I can just get that next one.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Which is a sucker's thing. But but it keeps you in it, right?
It's like gambling.
All of a sudden you get applause and money?
Years ago, I was in Vegas for a friend's bachelor party. I'm not a Vegas person, but...
Yeah, 2 days tops.
There are my East Coast buddies, and I never get to see them, and they were in Vegas. I was like, I'll drive and hang out with them. And I was hanging out with this one guy, electrician. Still lives in my really wealthy hometown and makes ludicrous amounts of money as an electrician. And we're standing there, and all our buddies are, you know, hitting the blackjack tables or whatever. And I'm standing there, and he looks at me and he goes, "Aren't you gonna play cards?" And I was like, "No." And I was like, "Oh, you're not?" And he's like, "I don't gamble." And I was like, "Well, me either." And he's like, "You moved out to L.A.? to become an actor.
And you don't gamble."
And I was like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. So I sat down on a blackjack table, and by the end of the night, I was up a grand.
Making some money.
And I left, unlike my friends.
See, that's what
everybody, with the whole group was rolling, and I was like, holy shit, I've never won this much money in my life. I went to bed.
Nice.
And when I woke up the next day, everybody was in a bad mood because we were all up, and then I went to bed, and everybody else went down. Yeah. And they were all sad.
I got 2 days of me. I could do the gamble, the Vegas thing, and I just play blackjack, or maybe like video poker, just something.
Yeah,
just,
video poker is fun.
You know, it's not exactly a slot machine, but you can actually make a choice of how to
do it. Yeah.
And then the blackjack thing, but I get grossed out if you start looking around at people in there after a while. Just go, wow, I can't be this close to this type of group of people for too
it's
long.
It's depressing.
Here.
I was really sad. I remember walking by, and this is obviously not an uncommon sight to see, but I think the first time I was in Vegas, it just struck me because there was a guy just sitting at a slot, one of those pull slot machines.
That's it.
He's just putting coins in, and his wife and his children are just standing there
while he's doing his thing,
bored out of their minds. And I'm like,
what's the enjoyment?
I mean, they started advertising it that way, you know.
The family.
Vegas is a family.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
that's
like
true.
Disneyland for adults, and now you can bring your kids, and we have roller coasters and shit.
Yeah. Right.
And I know they were advertising, but I never understood why the hell you'd drag your children, you know? I mean, if it's you and the wife getting away, cool.
They got a great restaurant, see a show.
Or it's just you meeting your old buddies for a bachelor. But it's fine. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But dragging the whole... <I was like, laughs>
Why? They have to stand back from the table.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, they can't go near anything. They're just waiting around so they can go on the stupid roller coaster, which you know is not up to code.
Oh, gosh.
There's nothing up to code.
No. That. What is that roller coaster at the top of the needle there? The
stratosphere? Oh, the stratosphere?
I'm sure that's safe.
Oh, yeah.
Any day now.
On a dare, me and my buddy went up there and we rode the up and down thing.
I did that. That scared the hell out of me. I've never been. I don't get scared at roller coasters. That one freaked me out a bit.
That scared me to death. I was like, "Holy shit! This is really high." And if this thing craps out, we're going right over the side.
Well, and the worst part of that is it will take such a long time to fall.
Yeah.
Anything that it's like that, maybe it's not as terrifying. But just knowing if it went south. It's going to be like 22 seconds.
It's going to be what? You're going to run out of scream energy.
Yeah, right. Yes.
You're going to scream.
You just have one breath of a scream.
Yeah,
you
and
die.
Then yeah, but now, you'll scream one, and then you'll run.
You'll make a phone call. That's bad. That's too long.
Yeah, it's too long.
No.
Yeah, you'll notice the birds. Yeah. It's not. Yeah, I will never go up there. And it struck me when I was riding that ride. Like, this city is Sin City, and it's built on bullshit, lies, and criminals. So, dude, we're not safe. Exactly. You're not safe in an amusement park either. That's like the truth.
Yeah. Especially the carny ones that come around with the...
Oh, forget that.
Oh, jeez. You get on those, you're...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went on one of those ones called the Zipper.
Okay.
You know that thing?
Mm.
It's like... It spins you in three different directions.
Oh, and the basket is spinning.
So there's like a big arm that spins.
Okay.
And then there are little arms that spin.
Then
the basket itself
is
spins.
No, that's... And there's...
Yeah. I got on one of those side show comes up overnight.
Right.
You know.
And everything's held together with what is it? Like a cotter pin.
Yeah.
Or like, and it's all sectional.
Yeah.
They'll all be fine.
And
every section will be just fine. And the 19-year-old meth addict who's running the ride,
right?
He's got it down. He knows what's going on.
Yeah.
He does a safety check.
Mm-hmm.
All
he
the time.
Really cares. Yeah. And when you're yelling for him to stop the ride over and over again, he doesn't concern himself with that because he knows you're perfectly safe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Which is what happened to me.
Yeah.
Please stop it! Please stop it!
You're good.
You're fine! Yeah. That was scary. Yeah, a friend of mine worked at Universal for a while.
Did the tour?
He didn't do the tour.
Oh,
he worked.
A lot of actors do the tour. Yeah,
yeah, he did. He worked on the Waterworld thing.
Okay,
you know that?
Yeah.
The stunt spectacular.
Yeah. Big plane lands.
Yeah. So they have all these instruments to measure the winds.
Oh, right.
Because...
They'll cancel it.
Yeah, that was his job, canceling it. And he's like...
What a negative job.
Right, canceling the plane, because it's a bummer.
Anytime you do something, you let everybody down.
But he said, you know, 60% of the time, that plane doesn't launch.
Oh, wow.
Because if there's any kind of hiccup in the wind will pick that plane up and put it in the...
First five rows.
It's like a Final Destination movie.
But everyone there will think that... was part of the show, right. If it really happened, anyway.
Right.
Everybody in from Wisconsin will be like, look how real that...
And he was telling me about the Jurassic Park ride.
Sure, yeah, I've been on that one.
And when they first constructed
it. It's in the water.
Yeah. And there's animatronic dinosaurs. So they were letting, you know, special people in and on the ride before it was officially open. And the T-Rex thing that comes down, the Tyrannosaurus comes down out of it.
Yeah.
So some mechanism broke in the hydraulic fluid, sprayed all over everybody in the boat.
Hydraulic fluid, good.
Burning them horribly.
Oh, wow.
And apparently, like, they didn't even get to the end. Like, they went down the hill, and then a door opened on the side of a mountain, and everybody was in a room with lawyers. Like, instantly. And he's like, yeah, that's how it works, and no, you're not safe. You're kidding yourself if you think you're safe.
Yeah.
Even at Disneyland, the stuff happens.
The wife and I just went to Disneyland this past Saturday without kids.
Are you
kids?
Oh, how was it?
Well, strange. our in-laws, they had an extra two tickets.
Oh, okay.
They're going to expire.
I see.
And they said, and my kids are at college, they'll get home soon. And we said, you know what? Let's go.
Why not?
Just the two of us.
Sure, yeah.
Right? Let's go on a Saturday.
Yeah.
How bad could it be?
Yeah.
Oh, that crowded. They have fast passes.
Oh, right. You run around and get your fast pass.
Now, remember that I was saying the type of people you're around in Vegas after a while, you're like, ooh,
I don't
need to be around
this
anymore. Got that way there. Yeah. There's a lot of that at Disneyland. You start looking around and, you know, people eat a lot.
They sure do.
You know that? Maybe they all just visit amusement parks, but there's a lot of people that eat a lot.
Yeah. They eat a lot and they eat a lot of fried food.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disneyland for me.
With kids, good. Fun.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. I totally appreciate it. But it is, even with kids, after about 3.5 hours, that's when I realize I'm spending my day standing in a parking lot.
Oh. Yeah.
With too many goddamn people.
Sauntering through and waiting in a line for a 20-second ride.
And a lot of them are awful.
Awful. Yes.
There are a lot of awful people.
Absolutely.
I have yet to go to Disneyland and not have some kind of tense altercation with somebody.
Not the happiest place on earth.
I really don't think it is. But I mean, part of that is that it gets hot and you're in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And everybody's tired and they are ingesting nothing but sugar and salt.
Well, they're bitter and pissy because they've spent $120 per ticket. So
Jesus. Mom
and dad are out $700 for taking the kids to this park. And they don't want to wait an hour to watch fake, you know, whatever, Buzz Lightyear. They get a little pissy.
And Johnny Depp is very rarely in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
That is true. I guess he was really in it one time, they said.
Just recently.
Some viral video, he walked out there and he was actually doing it.
Yeah. That seems like a bad sign for a dude's career.
Maybe something's turned when he's doing that.
I know. I was making jokes about... So... I want to see, like, James Woods at Legoland, like, just hanging off the top of the Lego Empire State Building, berating people for their politics. that would make me happy. Yeah. But, yeah, that's really odd. But then at the same time, I was like, if I did that, I'd be arrested.
True.
So, you know, good on him.
That's right.
Because I tried to do that on the Matterhorn.
No.
The security wrestled me to the ground, tossed right out, tried to be a Yeti.
Fed you to the Yeti. The Yeti looks good. They redid the Yeti, I gotta say.
Yeah?
A little bit better, and it leans in to scare you. It looks a little bit more legit. It used to be just this
ridiculous thing. That's what's great about the Disneyland is the animatronic effects.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I still really do like the
Space
Pirates
Mountain
of the Caribbean
too.
And Space Mountain is fun. Yeah, they're fun rides. Yeah, they're good. They're high quality.
Yeah. The castle's much smaller now. When I was a kid, I thought that castle was huge when you walk in on Main Street.
I was an East Coast kid.
And that's the legit castle.
I went to Disney World.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that,
twice the size.
That's huge. Yeah. Yeah, so you get here after that and you're like, what is that?
It's nothing.
Looks like an afterthought. This is bullshit. Disneyland is bullshit.
It's all fake.
How do you wrap up your show?
Normally, it just sort of fades out because at this point, most people tune out.
Uh-huh.
So I just kind of rely on them creating their own fade out. It could be anything, even if as an excuse of they, you know, somebody comes to the door. They just don't come back.
Okay.
But thank you for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
The guys in the booth left about 20 minutes ago, but they wanted to thank you again as well.
Tell them I said, hey, next time you...
Come back, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good deal.